FM 90.3 WJTL with Rachel Lampa, and for what it's worth, it's now 1:36 here at the Shirk at Work Network. Thank you for tuning in. Witness Festival right around the corner. It's scheduled for Saturday, June 14th. Headlining the event is Corey Asbury, and he joins us on the line right now to give us an opportunity to know him better. Hello, Corey. It's good to hear from you.
What's going on, brother? Thanks for having me.
Wondering if you could just maybe give us a little background about how you became interested in music and what kind of impact it has had in your years growing up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I started writing songs when I was probably 12, 13 years old. You know, I was just processing life at that time. A lot of changes going on. I started to like girls, you know, so I was writing some love songs and different things. But just really kind of dealing with life through song is the way that I always thought of it, and never imagined that anything would amount from it, you know, but just loved that it gave me a space to kind of have a therapy session with God, if you will. And then lo and behold, turns out that it would be what I would do for the rest of my life. And I'm incredibly blessed by that.
Yeah, a lot of people have aspirations to become a musician and it never materializes, but in your case, it did. How did that happen?
Yeah, man, it's, I don't know, it's interesting. It's like I never set out to say, hey, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be an artist. I think I just did it because I loved it. And then I fell in love with doing it at church. I started leading worship at my youth group, you know, around 15 years old. And my voice hadn't even changed quite yet, so everyone made fun of me and said I sounded like Justin Bieber. But, you know, it just sort of, I feel like I just kept walking through the doors that opened, you know. So my pastor saw me leading worship at youth and said, hey, why don't you come and join us on a Sunday morning? It's like, okay, you know, a little intimidated, but did it. And after I graduated high school, went basically to a Bible college and Kansas City, and same thing. They said, hey, we heard that you can sing and lead worship. Would you mind doing that? And I said, oh, sure, let's do it. And kept writing songs and eventually made a couple records. And, you know, Reckless Love was sort of the first real big open door that we walked through. But I feel like it wasn't super intentional. It was just, man, I love doing this, and let's see what God has in store.
Yeah, that song... Reckless Love was a big breakthrough for you. And yet I know that really you were on the scene, 9 years before that song even came out. So it was a gradual process for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when that song hit, I loved it. It actually made me really happy. People would go, this brand new artist with his first song ever, Reckless Love, you know, because I'd never had any critical success. You know, it's not like I ever had a radio song before that. I was just sort of writing songs that were like 10 minutes long and spontaneous moments in between them. And then Reckless Love happened, and it was cool to kind of jump on the scene as a quote-unquote new artist. That actually made me really happy.
Well, what about your conversion to Christ? What was happening in your life at the time that you came to faith?
Yeah. So, like I said, went to Kansas City for kind of a Bible school, and at that point, I feel like I was really a rebellious kid. I was 19 years old and angry at the world, angry at my parents, everything. You know, my mom and dad were a lot of fights, a lot of almost splitting up kind of thing, and I was just mad. So my first 3 months at that Bible school were just sort of angry at God, kind of going, what is going on with my life? You know, I tried to follow you. It's not really working out. I'm not really living the way that I'm supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, about 3 months in, I was in a class, and there was a guy there who was, I don't even remember what he was talking about, to be honest with you. I was so zoned out. And then all of a sudden, he just said, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence into the room, and bam, something shifted in the room, and people just started weeping and crying, and all of a sudden, I found myself weeping and crying. And honestly, before that, I can say I'd never really felt the presence of God in a real way. That was the first time. So I'm sitting there on the floor, you know, with tears and snot going, what the heck is going on? And in that moment, I felt like God spoke two things. I felt like he just said, number one, I've seen everything that you've ever done. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that I wasn't living right, knowing that the things that I was doing and the way I was behaving was not in accordance with, you know, scripture and what it tells us. And then number two, out of that moment, I felt like he said, and I still love you and I still want you. And I was just, I was wrecked, man. I was a mess and kind of just went, man, if this is the God that knows me in my weakest moments, in my sin, in my failure, and still goes, hey, Corey, you're my son and I want you, then I'm like, okay, I've got to give this God my life and my energy.
Those anger issues that you were talking about, were they resolved right away, or was that a process that took some time to deal with it?
Honestly, I think a lot of it was resolved right away. You know, it was a lot of frustration with my family, with my parents, with my dad in particular. And I feel like a lot of forgiveness came in that moment, and it was like, listen, I can't control him or his actions. All I can do is control the way that I respond. And so I'm going to forgive him for everything that's going on, and I'm going to come before God with a tender heart going, I don't need to be angry at you. This isn't your fault. You know, this isn't even my dad's fault. There's so many things at play. So it felt like, honestly, like a pretty massive overhaul in that moment.
That's tremendous. And now I understand you're married. You have 5 children. Is that right?
Yeah, we're crazy, man. Five kids. We just had another one about 3 months ago.
So well, what are the ages of your other children?
Yeah, so we've got, excuse me, our only boy, Gabriel, he's 15. And then, like I said, 4 girls after that. We got Lily, she's 11. River is 8. Willow is 5. And Tali, the little baby, is 3 months.
So how do you find that balance, that work, family time balance with so much going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's not without a lot of prayer and conversation with my wife on what we should or shouldn't be doing in any given season. And I feel like it's different in every season, you know. Sometimes it's like, hey, we're going to go run hard. We're going to do more shows. We're going to write more songs. We're going to, you know, record more. And then there's other seasons where we're like, hey, we're going to take 6 months off and we're not going to do anything. We're just going to be home as a family. We're going to rest. We're going to, you know, worship together, pray together. But, I, you know, with anything, life is tension, right? You gotta find that middle ground. And you got to hold those two sides and hope that you're doing right.
Absolutely. And of course, it's such a priority to invest in your family, to love them well. And at the same time, you know, you have a mission here and you have music to share. And we're really, really blessed by your music, by the way. It's very exciting to hear your name as part of the concert lineup at the Witness Festival in Quarryville. The specific location is Memorial Park, Quarryville, Saturday, June 14th. If someone wants to attend, what can they look forward to hearing from your concert set?
Oh, man. I feel like we got it all, man. We got those high praise worship songs. You know, obviously Reckless Love is going to be a part of that. We got some of those sort of OG songs, The Father's House, Egypt, Sparrows, and maybe some of the newer stuff, you know, that touches on family and what it's like to be a husband and a dad, and hopefully some stuff that makes you cry, some stuff that makes you laugh, and, you know, some stuff that brings you into the presence of God.
Speaking with Corey Asbury, who has quite a few well-known songs from our playlist, including Sparrows, The Father's House, and you mentioned Reckless Love. We've been talking about it. Very special song, rather unique in the sense that it uses the word reckless to describe God's love. How did you arrive at that word when thinking about God's love for you?
Yeah. I mean, it was a bit of what I was talking about earlier, knowing what a inadequate human I am with regards to biblical standards and what he asks of us. You know, looking at my own failure, basically, and going, why would this perfect God, you know, who existed before time in perfect unity with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, why would he take time to look at me, a weak, frail human being who, you know, for lack of better terms, is just not that special. And I think I was reading a lot of Brennan Manning, one of my favorite authors, and listening to a lot of Rich Mullins, one of my favorite artists at that time. And they actually used that word before I did. So if you've got a problem with it, take it up with them. Mm-hmm. But honestly, just really going, man, how is it that I am so well acquainted with my own shortcomings, and yet, you know, much like the prodigal story, the father runs to find me even after my failure, even after I've messed it all up. He runs to me and he says, let's kill the fatted calf and give him the finest robe and give him a ring, and we're going to have a feast tonight. So that, by all human standards, is a reckless use of resource mm-hmm. because that son didn't deserve that, you know?
Well, Corey, I looked up the definition of reckless, and one of the definitions I found was going into harm's way. And I thought, wow, what a description of the cross, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
That Jesus didn't play it safe, but he went into harm's way on our behalf. And right. I mean, it's not like we deserve it, but he did it willingly. So such a special song. I loved it from the moment I heard it, and I'm going to play it right now. But just want to remind the listening audience, Corey Asbury will be at this year's Witness Festival in Quarryville. It is a free event, all right? It's Saturday, June 14th. It starts at noon. Other artists will be there at Memorial Park in Quarryville. You can find more details at witnessfestival.com. Corey, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me.
All right. I hope you have a good day. Looking forward to seeing you Saturday, June 14th.
Yes, sir. Good. Can't wait.